Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams, and this is one of 100 sermons, each one bringing you a piece of scripture or wisdom from the Bible, usually tying it to health and nutrition and purity of your body, mind, and spirit. And today is no exception. We're going to go old school today. We're going to get into Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. And I remember reading this verse many years ago and being struck by what is contained, well, actually in verse 11, where God says, speaking to the Israelites about the laws, laws of cleanliness, so you can enter the tabernacle and even be in the presence of God, right? He says in verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So he's talking about, well, throughout the chapter, some of the things that the Israelites need to do to make up for their sins against God. And some of this being Old Testament involves sacrificing a young bull or goats or like turtle doves and all kinds of animals that apparently, had to be sacrificed so that the sins were placed upon the animals and thereby the people would not have to carry the burden of those sins. Now, again, understand this is Old Testament, so you need to think about these rules and laws in the context of what was more common in that time in other regions. So even though it may seem odd in our time today to say, well, you sinned, so kill a goat, back in the Old Testament days, that was a symbol of an effort to appease God or to ask for forgiveness for sins. By the way, I have goats and I love my goats. They're like pets in essence. They're family members. I could never imagine butchering a goat or sacrificing a goat. But then again, back in those days, people would butcher and eat the goats, obviously. Nevertheless, getting back to this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. What does this mean? Now, thinking about Leviticus and what this entire book says, it's talking about, at first, physical purity, and then in the second part of the book, it's more of moral purity or spiritual purity. But the physical purity part is very specific, and it goes through all of these sections about like bodily discharges, and if anything comes out of your body, and then it's unclean, and you're unclean, and whatever clothing it touched, that's unclean, and everybody's unclean. And also, there were sections in there about leprosy. There was a lot of leprosy, I suppose, in those days, and even kind of medical advice from God, like how to diagnose this and the color of the hair coming out of the burn mark or whatever, or the flesh, and if it's deeper than the surface of the skin, then that person's unclean, and you kick them out of the tent. Pretty much that kind of thing, which makes medical sense in the sense of isolating people who might be, carriers of different kinds of pathogens or, fungi or leprosy or what have you. So it's kind of just really early medical advice. And by the way, thinking about what is found in Leviticus, which again, remember, this is one of the first five books of the Torah. So this is under the Jewish tradition here. If you think about what God taught in the book of Leviticus, then you can't condone, gay sex or homosexual acts or sodomy or any of the more outrageous or, let's say, adventurous sex acts that perhaps, well, for sure, are more common today, anal intercourse and things like that. Even in Leviticus, God said that when a man and a woman have sex, that they should both be considered unclean and they should bathe, and they're unclean for a period of time. After that, there was a really strong preoccupation with body fluids in Leviticus. So this is probably not taught a lot in today's churches. I don't know, because I don't go to other churches and hear their interpretation. I prefer to read the Bible. I just read the Bible. I don't want a pastor or preacher from a mainstream church to tell me what they think the Bible says when I can just read it myself. Of course, you may say, well, Mike, you're telling us what you think. Indeed, I am, and encouraging you to read it yourself. That's the difference. I want you to read the scripture. Go to Leviticus. Read the chapter. It's an eye-opener. Believe me, it's an eye-opener about body fluids. But getting to blood, this is highly relevant to today's medical system, which is rooted in now mRNA injections and vaccinations that pollute the blood. mRNA in particular would absolutely be contradictory to the teachings of God in Leviticus and other books of the Bible, because mRNA hijacks your body's natural cells and it causes your cells to churn out non-human proteins, which are not aligned with the, you know, the image of God, us being created in the image of God, the children of God, the genetic code given to us by God. It's completely contradictory to that. So the ribosomes of your cells are hijacked by mankind, and mankind, or pharmaceutical companies and doctors and so on, Western doctors, they are injecting you with something that is a Trojan horse. It's really a kind of satanic, self-assembling molecular toxin system that causes your body to churn out biological weapons. And then you shed those onto other people. It's called viral shedding. And the word viral needs an entire discussion, but these are basically protein fragments that have toxicity. And these are shed from those who took these shots, the mRNA shots. The mRNA then, we now know based on recent scientific evidence and medical studies that this will persist in the blood for at least 28 days. And then in some people, it will persist much longer than that because their bodies are making more of it and churning it out on a regular basis. But we know at least 28 days, and we'll just call it a month. So in Leviticus, if God says that when a woman gives birth to a child, she is unclean for, I think, 66 days if she gave birth to a girl, and for some reason, she's unclean for a shorter period of time if she gave birth to a boy. I don't know what that's all about. We can only guess, but that's in Leviticus. Read it yourself. It's like, why are baby girls more unclean? I don't know. But it's very clear that if these mRNA injections, which are not really vaccines, they're called vaccines, but that's fraud. They're actually gene therapy injections. If they had existed in the time of the Old Testament, God absolutely would have said, don't inject yourself with gene-altering, you know, alien protein-generating, bioweapon-generating substances. Don't inject it. I mean, because the whole book is about, you know, don't touch the blood of the animal, the carcass, the dead animal, don't eat the flesh if it's been, you know, feeding upon by vultures and what it, the whole book is about that. There's no way that God would have said, take these jabs. So this tells you something very important, doesn't it? Very important, that any Jewish organization, you know, those of practicing Judaism, any Jewish synagogue or other religious organization that pushes the jabs on people stands in violation of God, especially given that Leviticus is in the Torah, or the Torah, as it's often pronounced. These are the teachings of God to the Jews. And if they just blatantly violate that, they cannot then claim to be operating in alignment with God. So don't you find it interesting that many of the people in the vaccine industry today, at the top of companies like Moderna, and also at the top of the FDA and the CDC and HHS, they are people of Jewish faith, or they claim to be, which means they should have read Leviticus, which means they should know that what they're doing is not in alignment with God, but rather with Satan. Now, this simple truth, which is undeniable because it's written right there in the scripture, this also extends to Christian organizations and Christian churches. So there are many Christian pastors who also should know better than to promote these toxic jabs onto their congregations. Why would you recommend that your flock be injected with diseases, in essence. That's more classical vaccination. Why would you recommend that? Or more importantly, in a more modern context, why would you recommend that people be injected with gene-altering experimental bioweapons that clearly violate the word of God and clearly contaminate the blood, which is, as God says in Leviticus 17:11, he says that the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the purity of the blood speaks to the purity of your life and the purity of your flesh. If your blood is contaminated, then your life is contaminated. This is, in essence, what God is saying. If your blood is clean, well then, now you've got a basis to go on and focus on, you know, moral purity and spiritual purity, because God talks about these different levels of purity and different levels of the dedication to Him. But don't you find it interesting that right now, today, there's a term in our modern pop culture called purebloods? Purebloods are people who did not take these COVID jabs. Isn't that interesting? Purebloods represent the future of humanity. Why? Because those who have contaminated blood, because they took the experimental jabs, they took the mRNA, they took the poisons, they are suffering very high rates of infertility, spontaneous abortions, and sudden death, among other problems. Some of those problems are called long COVID, but they're actually long-term vaccine injuries. But God reminds us, the purity of your blood speaks to the purity of your life. So if you want to be someone of pure blood, then do not take man's satanic injections of toxins and adjuvants, which are neuroinflammatory substances that are deliberately put into the vaccines in order to increase their toxicity. Do not take those substances into your body. Do not allow your body to be penetrated and violated by these toxic demonic substances pushed by Big Pharma and mankind's so-called science. So this is a very important principle of our organization, our church, and I say that in the sense that if you are on board with this message, and if you are learning from this and you are sharing this, you are part of a classic church. We are a church, we are a congregation, we are a group of people who share common goals, common understandings, and common dedication to faith. And one of the most important rules in our organization is that you do not pollute your body intentionally with these toxic jabs, because we don't want you coming to one of our meetings or being part of our congregation if you are shedding these toxic bioweapons molecules on somebody else. So if you're going to be vaccinated, and let me just say this in sort of the old school, Old Testament kind of way, if you are going to take these jabs and pollute your blood, you may not enter the tabernacle, okay? You may not enter our tabernacle. And I don't think God will let you enter His. In fact, there's no question whatsoever that that's the case. If you take the jab of Satan, you will not be welcomed by God. You will be rejected by God, and you are also rejected by our church. And you may notice there are not a lot of issues like that that I've talked about that are so strongly enforced within our organization. But this is one of the most important. Do not get jabbed and then show up at a meeting or show up at a congregation or show up at a home Bible study and pollute others with your toxins. That sort of action is highly irresponsible. It is ungodly. It is unclean, to use the terms out of, you know, Leviticus. So don't do it. And it's more important than a common rule in churches that says, you know, don't show up inebriated, right? Don't show up loaded with alcohol or high on drugs or whatever. That's bad enough, but that doesn't affect the people around you. And just because if you're drunk and you show up to a church service drunk, it doesn't make the person next to you drunk. But if you show up to a church service carrying the spike protein bioweapons factories inside your body's cells than you do shed on others. And just as we have in the common slogan of the Second Amendment in the history of the United States of America, "Don't tread on me," well, we have a slogan in our church, "Don't shed on me." Don't come to church and pollute the people next to you. Now, we have a similar rule with fragrance, but it is not as urgent as, you know, shedding of bioweapons. So we also have a rule about fragrance. Don't show up to an in-person service or, you know, a home Bible study program or a public meeting or anything like that. Anything involved in our organization. Do not show up reeking of artificial fragrance chemicals that are toxic to yourself and to others. So just be mindful of those two things. We are very open to all kinds of different people joining in this congregation and sharing these messages and practicing and following the things that we are sharing and using this in order to get closer to God and the teachings of Christ and so on. But we also have rules. We have a few basic rules, and they are very important rules, and you just heard probably two of the most important rules. Don't shed on me, and don't show up reeking of fragrance. It's important that we understand that whatever's circulating in the blood becomes your body's cells. So your body is constantly regenerating itself at a cellular level. For example, you're constantly urinating out dead red blood cells, and then within your bones, you are making new red blood cells every single day. And you're also making new skin cells every day. You're making new liver cells. You're making new cells of your, you know, large intestine, and so on and so forth. You're constantly making new cells to replace old cells, which is interesting that you're never the same person twice, by the way. And you are able to recreate yourself constantly over time. In other words, there's a kind of cellular resurrection that's taking place. Cells are dying and being reborn within you, as actually makes sense when you realize your body is the temple and your body is an expression of the creation of God. God lives within you, through your body, mind, and spirit. But at the body level, the composition of your blood becomes the composition of your cells. Because what else would your cells be made from? You know, where do your cells get their resources? And the answer is, they get it from the blood, because that's what's circulating around the body and bringing building blocks to your cells. You know, every living cell in your body is attached to your blood, your blood supply. Now, otherwise, it wouldn't be a living cell, right? So the blood is bringing your cells this nourishment and also carrying away cellular waste products or toxins. And as these building blocks arrive to the cell, each cell has to harness what's available. And if it doesn't have the building blocks available that it needs, such as, for example, certain trace minerals that are often lacking in people's diets, then the cell can never express its full potential. It may be impaired. It may have a lack of cellular function or a lack of energy, for example. But the more building blocks it receives, and the less it is exposed to toxins, the healthier the cell will be, the more abundant it will be. It will live longer, and it will fulfill its purpose of specialization. You know, a heart cell contributes to the overall function of the heart organ. A liver cell works with the liver, obviously, a kidney cell, and so on. Each cell has a role to play. And the only way it can play that role is if it is given the proper building blocks in order to carry that out. So that comes down to the composition of your blood. And I ask you this question: what is your blood made of? Your blood is made almost entirely of things that you eat, drink, put on your skin, and inhale. And I say inhale because, of course, your lungs are connected to your blood. Otherwise, you wouldn't have oxygen in your blood supply. And so you're inhaling and exhaling all the time in order to enrich your blood with oxygen and also to exhale carbon dioxide as a waste product. But whatever else is in the air also becomes part of your blood. And then that blood becomes part of your body. So your cells, your body is literally an expression of what's in the air around you. So do you want clean air? Right? Do you want pure air? Or do you want air that's contaminated with mold and fungi and toxic chemicals and all kinds of pollutants? Because that will give you unclean blood, and that will result in unclean cells. Same thing with food and water. Water's simple, so let's just cover that first. If you're drinking unclean, contaminated water, you're going to have unclean blood. It's very clear. If you're drinking city water, oh my goodness, what do they put in that? All kinds of chemicals and chemical byproducts that you don't want in your blood. So don't drink city water. Make sure you purify your water if it's going to go into your blood, because it's going to become part of your body. If you want pure blood, drink clean water. And of course, food. So food is more than just proteins and carbohydrates and lipids and fibers and so on. Food contains, you know, in some cases, many contaminants. Food also contains, obviously, beneficial molecules that we call God's molecules. These are the nutrients in foods that have medicinal benefits, protective benefits against the toxins. So the food that you choose to eat obviously affects the composition of your blood, which affects everything, all the cells in your body. So it's really a beautiful thing that you can recreate your body at the cellular level day by day by simply changing what you eat, changing the purity of the water you drink, changing what you put on your skin, changing what you might inhale, for example. Your body will build a new body that reflects your new habits. It's a very powerful and profound truth. And in the same sense, if you slide back into eating contaminated, toxic foods, toxic waters, and so on, you will create toxic blood and a toxic body, and then you'll have a toxic brain, and you'll have a toxic life. And then how can you be close to God if everything in your physical form is filled with toxins? You can't. And if you have enough toxins, you'll begin to suffer from, you know, mental disorders and emotional imbalances and all these other things. And how can you find peace and balance with God if you're mentally ill and emotionally imbalanced? You can't, right? So cleanliness of the things that you take in is critical to your ability to follow the teachings of Christ. Because you can't get close to God if you are not clean in your habits. All right, let's summarize this sermon, just drive home the key points. Number one is that the life is in the blood. This is the word of God. The blood provides the building blocks, the nutrients, and the pathways to provide nourishment to cells and also carry away waste products from cells. And thus, your cells are constantly healing or rebuilding or being replenished. It's a form of cellular resurrection or rejuvenation. And whatever's in your blood creates those new cells. So when your body is building new skin, new tissues, what have you, new nerve cells, it's doing so from what's in your blood. So blood purity determines the purity and therefore the cellular efficiency and the longevity and the resilience of the individual cells that make up your organs and organ systems and whole body. In addition, blood poisons or toxins thereby impair your physical capabilities. They impair neurological function. And as a result, they make it more difficult for you to focus on higher values or activities, spiritual achievement, or let's say even moral achievement that brings you closer to God. Or to summarize in another way, toxins separate you from God, and healthful nutrition and clean health habits allow you to be closer to God. And therefore, consuming God's molecules found in natural medicine, you know, fruits and vegetables and sprouts and herbs and essential oils and all of these things that God provided on this earth for us, consuming those molecules helps your body rejuvenate in a fashion that is closer to God and also helps protect you from the toxic effects of the neurotoxins and the cardiotoxins and the hepatotoxins, that is liver toxins and so on, that exist in our foods, in our medicines, in our personal care products, and in our environment. And while we can't be perfectly pure because our entire world is polluted, most of our food supply is contaminated, you know, most of the popular personal care products are laced with toxic chemicals, especially fragrance chemicals, we can, however, make choices that deliberately enhance the purity, the cleanliness of our blood and therefore our bodies. And one final thing I would add to all of this is to be very cautious about choosing a mate, choosing a spouse, because if you are intimate with someone, then whatever toxins that are coursing through their blood and their body are ultimately going to shed on you, or, you know, you're going to be exposed to those toxins. If you're going to be intimate with somebody, make sure, to the extent that you can, I mean, this is why there are pure blood dating sites, by the way, because people who are pure bloods, which in modern lingo refers to those who did not take the mRNA COVID jabs, many of those people do not want to marry or attempt to have children with those who have been jabbed. And that is rational. That's a rational belief system, especially if you plan to have children. Let's say if you're a woman, a young woman, you want to have children one day. So you're looking for a mate who is healthy and who can help you have offspring and raise healthy children. Do you want that to be polluted by mRNA, you know, transgenic mutations, possibly in the genetic code of the sperm of your husband? And the answer should be no. And vice versa, if you're a man looking to raise a family, you want to marry a woman and you want to have kids together, well, how do you know she can even conceive if she's been jabbed? Because infertility and spontaneous abortions are two of the major side effects of these COVID jabs. So you need to choose your mates carefully. And I would say, don't choose a mate that God wouldn't let into the tabernacle. So if God would say, that's unclean, you know, that's crazy, that's contagious, you might want to also think carefully about that as well. If you're going to bet the future of your family on a mate, make sure that that mate has fertility, that they haven't been compromised by the jabs. All right, that's my sermon for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. There are many more sermons yet to come. And if you would like to hear them, just go to the place where you found this sermon and you'll find many more. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Take care.